You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. An art installation currently up at the Chinese Culture Center touches on an obscure piece of California history, the practice of bone repatriation. During the Gold Rush, thousands of Chinese immigrants came to California to work as merchants and migrant laborers. But in 1882, the U.S. passed the Chinese Exclusion Act. No one from China specifically could enter the U.S. Chinese immigrants already living here were separated from their families back home. And when it came time to die, it meant traditional death rites could not be observed by loved ones. So before their deaths, thousands of these immigrants arranged to have their bones sent back to China. KALW's Hannah Kingsley Ma went to the art exhibit to find out more.
For San Francisco artist Summer May Lingley, it all started earlier this year when she stared into an empty, dilapidated box.
When I was confronted with that box, I was really hit with this ineffable moment, and I just became very emotional, and I thought, this is what I have to do the art project on.
Back in the late 19th century, this very box traveled probably from North America to Hong Kong. But there's a lot about it that we don't know. It likely once held the bones of a man who left southern China for work, but wanted to be buried back in his ancestral village. Maybe those bones got claimed by his family. Maybe they were vandalized. All that was clear was the name inscribed on the inside of the box. It was enough to make Summer cry.
There was this this mystery of how did this all happen and all the different conditions that needed to come together for this particular story to come into being. And that also this story, like the actual bone box itself, is very fragile.
Summer is a third-generation Bay Area resident and the descendant of Chinese immigrants. When she saw the box, she was in Hong Kong, visiting Dong Hua Hospital, which commissioned her to make an art piece about its history. Since 1872, the Dong Hua group of hospitals has provided medical aid to the poor. And early in its existence, the hospital facilitated the repatriation of Chinese immigrants' bones back to their homeland after they died. It was an effort to observe cultural death rituals, like second burial, says Summer.
When a person dies, they do a first burial, and then after a period of 7 to 10 years, they take up the body, clean the bones, and then arrange the bones very neatly into an urn, which then gets buried into an ancestral plot.
In the late 1800s, Chinese laborers living in the Bay Area often arranged to have their recovered bones sent in bone boxes back to China. These bone boxes often had a layover in Hong Kong, where they were kept in Dong Hua Hospital's coffin home. The hospital advertised in local Chinese newspapers, alerting families to come get their loved ones' remains. Some of them made it back home to their villages, and some of them didn't, and stayed at Dong Hua Hospital.
They still hold about 200 bone boxes that have been there some almost 100 years that have been stuck in transit and for whatever reason. And so they are holding literally a bunch of bone boxes that are still questioning, will I go home? And the truth is that these bone boxes will probably never go home.
Summer is moved that even all these years later, the hospital plays the role of the family and remembers the dead.
Every day, the caretaker lights incense offerings to them as offerings that you would provide for your family.
So she scooped up the ashes left over from the incense the caretaker had burned in the coffin home and brought them back to San Francisco with her. Those ashes eventually ended up here in her art exhibit. The installation, entitled Requiem, is dimly lit. Voices murmur in both English and Chinese as you enter. I'm encouraged to use a flashlight to illuminate the faint murals painted on the walls, murals made from that same ash Summer collected from Dong Hua Hospital. These murals depict an imagined journey of these bone boxes, from San Francisco to Hong Kong to southern China. Filmy gauze hangs from the ceiling, animated birds float across the walls. At the center of the exhibit, one bone box from Dong Hua sits on an illuminated pedestal, an empty chair placed in front of it.
I had to contemplate this idea that there was a lot of suffering in that box.
But she says some people honored and kept alive the spirits in these boxes to mitigate that suffering.
It's sort of this embedded cultural duty and obligation to take care of those in the afterlife. But that they did it for non-family members, I think, is kind of the miracle of this story.
The Chinese Exclusion Act and later anti-Chinese laws not only banned entry for new immigrants, they also erased the possibility of family life for Chinese people who were already here. They couldn't bring their existing families over, and there was little opportunity to create new ones. San Francisco Chinatown in the late 19th century was a bachelor town, and anti-miscegenation laws outlawed Chinese men from marrying outside their race. But the Chinese community in the U.S. created new adaptive structures, like family associations.
The family association always took on the role of the family if someone didn't have a family here.
That's David Lay. He's a longtime San Francisco resident and an informal historian on all things Chinatown.
The family association served a very important function formerly, which in recent years taken over by the nonprofits.
Family associations helped people in the same so-called clan.
These are people with the same last name or people coming from the same district or county.
David's part of the Lee Family Association, one of the oldest and most powerful in San Francisco. Decades ago, soon after his family moved to this country, the association helped David's dad find a job.
I was told as a kid, if I got into trouble anywhere in the world, just go to the Lee Family Association. They'll get me a ticket back home or feed me, because we're all related.
When Chinese migrants arrived in the 1800s in San Francisco, they took a similar path, checking into the association aligned with their last names and paying dues. The associations provided opportunities at a time when Chinese were facing extreme discrimination.
Landlords would just say, we don't rent to Chinese nor employ Chinese. So whenever the group find out there's a place for rent, willing to rent to Chinese, they'll tell others, and maybe they can better their environment, their living condition, or when there's a job opening, they would refer to other clan members.
These associations help orchestrate the bone repatriation process, corresponding with Donghua Hospital in Hong Kong to make sure the boxes got on the boats. Today, even though the practice of second burial is gone, the associations still provide burial services for their Duping members. David remembers what it was like helping bury the older members who died and didn't have family here to take care of them.
Almost every other weekend, I was asked to be a pallbearer because they didn't have enough young people to carry the casket. They gave me $20, which was not bad, but it was an obligation in many ways.
David agrees to show me the Lee Family Association. When we meet, he walks fast, clearly familiar with every nook and cranny of the neighborhood. I end up chasing him down Chinatown's narrow streets till we stop at an unassuming door. On the first floor is the association's credit union, where David worked in his late 20s. We wind up the stairs where a dozen or so seniors are reading newspapers and playing mahjong. The walls are lined with black and white photos of generations of Lees.
This is my father. Where's your father?
In a grand room on the top floor, the family altar fills a whole wall.
This is where they hold their meeting because you won't argue so much in front of the ancestors. That's a concept. But we still argue. But less because you have to honor.
David Lay and another member of the association, Ding Lee, bust out genealogy charts that map their ancestors 1,000 years back. Most of their family is buried in China and Taiwan, but not everybody.
The bones are coming back the other way. I went to bring my ancestors' bones from Taiwan here to America because no one's going back there to sweep the bones.
Eventually, we would like to do some business right here. We just the advertising in China because we have a huge column barrier house over here.
Yeah, you're building it now.
We're building a house to store all the bones and ash.
Both Ding and David have done reverse bone repatriations, bringing their ancestors' remains here to the U.S. They're getting older, and it's getting harder to fly back halfway around the world for annual holidays like Qingming to sweep ancestors' graves and make offerings as a sign of respect. For David, it's important to keep up the rituals that have been passed down for generations. But he doesn't do it for the sake of just doing it. Like his own research into Chinatown, he has a scholarly approach that makes him investigate the very why of the matter. So he read about it, and he thought about it. And to him, the way that Chinese families mark death, it just makes sense. It makes a hard thing easier.
As I get old, I think about death. And, you know, I don't think I fear death. I fear that no one will remember me or what I did, that my life was meaningless and no one would know. But the Chinese solved this with these rituals and these beliefs of veneration. There's an obligation to remember.
An obligation to remember. That phrase rattles around in my head all day long. It makes me think about that empty, torn-up bone box in the middle of Summer Lee's exhibit. Here's Summer again.
One of the themes that kept coming up for me about this fragility is if you are remembered, you still exist. And I think this story, a lot of these lives we're not remembering anymore, but we're right on the edge, the fragile edge of remembering these people.
To be in a bone box meant having no family here. It meant traveling across the ocean to be united, at least in death, with the family you left behind. The people whose bones were in those boxes, they were forever searching for home, torn between two countries. But at least they're not forgotten. In their continued collective remembrance, their stories are made indelible. As David Lay puts it,
this is a wonderful thing. This is our spiritual immortality.
In San Francisco's Chinatown, I'm Hannah Kingsley Ma for Cross Currents.